Welcome. It's good to see you here. Well, if this is your first time here with us, we're working our way through the Psalms in the lead up to Christmas. And we started with Psalm 1 and then we went to Psalm 139 and now we're back at Psalm 5. And you might well say, what the heck? This is all part of our grand plan to keep you guessing. All right, so we're going to focus on Psalm 5 this week, but Psalm 139 is still in our minds. The words of the psalmist there that said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart," are there. And they're a reminder to us that we all, deep down, want to be known. We want relationship. We want someone who knows us better than anybody else in the world. And that's because we all have the desire to be loved. We all have that desire. It's a need, actually. It is attached to our health. Children do better. They thrive when they know they are loved. Because God created us for relationship. You see, he created us in his image and he is a God of relationship. He is three in one. Father, Son, and Spirit, all wrapped up in one. And when they created the earth, he said, "Let us create." It was in relationship. And we're made in his image, so we also crave relationship. But the fact that we are made in his image and we crave relationship gives us the clue that he also wants relationship. He wants relationship with you. He desires for you to know him just as much as what we desire to be known. But he wants us to know him for real. The real him. Have you ever wondered why God did things the way he did? Why would you create a perfect world and cast the leader of the rebellion against you into that garden? It would not make sense. Except if it was not so that we would know him. You see, he is the God who is compassionate and merciful and kind. And it's in the context of rescuing us from our sin, restoring the earth, restoring us into relationship with him. That's how we get to know him for real. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know him as the God who saves. You see, being in relationship with God is a relationship that is founded on covenant. It's founded on faithful covenant, a promise that he makes to us. And it relies on his faithfulness, not ours. And we live in an age of blessing because we live in the age where that covenant was made flesh in Jesus Christ. And we got to see what David was only hoping for. You see, we live in an age where covenant relationship with God is entered into through Jesus. We are all called to know that Jesus came as God incarnate. He came to bind up the strong man who held us captive. And he sets us free from slavery to sin. Until we're saved, we're lost in rebellion. We are lost against God, determined to be our own gods and living according to whatever way we think makes sense to us. But in reality, we're all following Satan when we're like that, because he was the leader, the instigator of that rebellion. We're headed on the same road as he is. Sin's blinded us to that knowledge and what that means, or even the fact that God exists at all. But Jesus came. This is what David was hoping for. Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. He came to show us that God is not only real, but that everything that we've heard about him is lies. He showed us the heart of the Father, the way that he wants it to be known: compassionate, merciful, kind. He went willingly to the cross as the greatest act of love, power, and authority. And he defeated Satan that day. He sealed once and for all the covenant that God had made with humanity all the way back at the beginning. All the way through Scripture, God has said his covenant: I will be your God and you will be my people. He said it to Abraham. He said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation and I will be your God and they will be my people. What you need to do is follow me. Pick everything up and go where I'm sending you and trust me. Because for that to happen, something miraculous had to happen inside Abraham's wife Sarah. He made the same covenant refreshed with Moses when he'd rescued his people out of Israel, out of slavery, and he brought them to Mount Sinai and he gave them the law and he said, now this is who I am. I will be your God and you will be my people. And you will be different to everybody else, all the other nations around you. This is how you are to live. He said it to David when he said to David, little shepherd boy, forgotten by your family, pushed to the background, I am going to make you the greatest king over my people that there has ever been. He saw in David and he said about David, this is a man after my own heart. And it was all that training on the mountainside amongst the sheep that prepared David for what he was going to do. And then we see the covenant brought to its fruition in Jesus. God in flesh, incarnate. At each step of the way, God has revealed another little understanding of what this covenant means, how we are to live with him. To Abraham, he said, follow me, trust me. To Moses, he said, obey me, worship me. Through David, he said, be blessed by me, be ruled by me. And through Jesus, he said, be loved and be saved by me. You see, God has revealed himself to be a God who is faithful, a God who is powerful, a God who is with you, and a God who is full of grace as he has rolled out his covenant relationship with us. But what is it like for David before Jesus even came? All he could do was to hope for salvation. And he could see everything in the world that we can see. In Psalm 4, he laments how rotten the world is, how much his enemies rage against him, how much he needed God's protection. Why, Lord? Why? How much longer do we have to wait for your justice. And at the end of that psalm, he says, in peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. The great King of Israel needed to be held by God at night so he could sleep. With all the armies that he had, with all the people that he had serving him, he knew what it was like to be in covenant with God, the God who saves. And so at the beginning of this next psalm, Psalm 5, we read, as Les pointed out, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. David came to God. The King of Israel came to God as his king. And he brought what the people were bringing to David. Help us, protect us, provide for us. What the people came to David for, David went to God for. You see, God wants us to know him as king. We're told in the New Testament, with the benefit of seeing Jesus revealing the heart of the Father, knowing God includes knowing that Jesus is our Lord and Master. In Romans 10, verse 9, it says that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Greek word for Lord in that sense, Master, King. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the basis of which we enter into covenant with God. But what if you were put on this earth to represent God to the people the way David was? What if you were here to physically represent God's character in the world as king, the way David was? What if you were called to be king over God's people, to rule them and to represent his authority and his protection at the same time as being in covenant relationship with God? And what if you had to do that without the benefit of having seen Jesus do it? See, that's what David had on his plate. He was part of the revelation of God's covenant to his people. And he was known in Jewish history as the greatest king that that nation has ever had. But David struggled with what he saw around him. He struggled with who he was. He was just a man like you and me. And Psalm 4 opened up the grief of that king, trying to lead his people through this mess. You see, David was God's king, a man called to do God's work in the world, in a world that was not interested in God. And he was a man after God's own heart. And the things that grieved God grieved him. We see that in these Psalms. And he was a man who made tremendous mistakes and he committed serious sins. So how did he keep going? How did he write, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety? How did David do what he was called to do? Be king. And all the time know that he was not God. The clue is in the end of Psalm 4. At night time, he gave to God the things that he was never meant to carry. even the king of Israel had things that he was not meant to carry. And he handed them to God. And he said, this is your zoo. These are your monkeys. You deal with it. And he focused on what he was called to do. In the morning, he got up. And he came before his king. His first thought was of God, serving him. You see, when David got up, he expected God to be God. He expected God to do what God does. But did you notice that David the king also got up expecting God to be his personal king? See, David had king things to do. He had people relying on him to be their king. And people looked to him for their leadership, their protection, their teaching. They looked to him to make right decisions and to demonstrate the character of Yahweh, their God, as king of Israel. But David knew that while there were people who served him, there was one that he served who is even greater. For God to be the God of Israel meant that he needed to be David's God. And so in the verses 1 to 3, we read that that is exactly who God was to him in David's heart. We either live in denial and rebellion against that, or we live in submission and surrender to it. That I will be your God, part of the covenant. David had surrendered to that. And he came to God. He left things with God in the evening, and he came to God in the morning, ready to serve. Because he knew the character of his God. He had seen it revealed over time. He had seen how God had treated his people, what kind of king God was. He had seen that he'd rescued them from slavery, that he'd protected them against armies. You see, David saw what was wrong in the world, and he felt the tension of people's pain and suffering, the injustice of nations getting away with horrific things. And he had to live in the tension of that, of not being able to change that himself. He had to leave that with God, even when God didn't do what David thought he should be doing. Because David wasn't the king. He had to wait expectantly for God. But knowing God's heart, knowing from history, looking back at what God had done, how God had revealed himself to be a God who was compassionate and merciful and kind and patient, helped David get up in the morning, because he knew that God did not live with lawlessness. You see, God had given the law through Moses and revealed that part of his character in that time. And so David wrote, "For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all that do wrong." That word hate is a strong word, isn't it? But in this case, it doesn't mean what we would mean by it. For God to love someone or something means that he embraces them. He empowers them. He protects them. But for God to hate something means that it's rejected, it's cast out, that there is no relationship between God and it. There is no embracing because there is only judgment. And it will only know death and destruction on that day because it's completely incompatible with him. For God to hate is not an emotional response the way we would respond. We hate something 1 minute and the next minute we've forgotten and it's all okay again. But not so with God. There are things that God will never accept because they're incompatible with who he is, and that is not an emotional response. It just is. You see, living in covenant relationship with God means living under his authority. And that means that lawlessness is out. It means that we live under God's authority. The things that God hates and wants no part of are the things that we are to have no part of. And the things that God loves and embraces are the things that we also are to embrace. The law of Moses teaches us that. It teaches us how to be his people, how he is our God, and how we are to live as his people. You see, David's calling was to be king over God's people, to represent God to his people and to love and protect them in the way that God does. And our calling is really no different. We are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel to creation. And to do that requires us to do as David did. To understand who God is, for him to be our king, and for us to demonstrate his character in the world. You see, we are called to be ambassadors for God in this world. We are created to carry his image in this world. And that's what David, that's what his role was all about, was carrying the image of God as king, as heading up his nation. So what can we take from this psalm that David wrote that will help us to do this calling in the world? In verse 8, David wrote, "Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me." There is a way of righteousness. There is only one way, revealed in Jesus Christ. He is the way. The way of righteousness that we are called to aspire to, that we are called to be transformed into, that we are called to submit to, is the way, the example that Jesus set. But we don't do that just to please God and stay in his good books. He's not that kind of king. David wrote, "Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies." It's for their benefit. How are they ever going to know if someone isn't sent? How are they going to hear if no one preaches? It is for the benefit of the world that we are called to live the way we are called to. Just like David did. He knew that people were watching. Other nations were watching. And how David lived as a reflection of who was king in his life bore God's image in this world. And so we all need to guard our hearts and our minds, not just so that we don't fall, like David did, but for the benefit of our enemies, so that they too can be saved and enter into this covenant relationship with God. In verse 9, David wrote, "Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they tell lies." You know, David's experience was one where everyone around him in the other nations were saying all kinds of things about him, about what they were going to do to his people, about his God. And so I want to ask you, who speaks for God in your life? Is it the people around you? Because not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their throat is an open grave. Who speaks for God in your life? In verse 10, David wrote, "Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you." Like us, David saw the injustice in the world and he cried out for the day when justice will be restored. He cried out for the day when the Messiah, the great King, God's King, would be here and he would do what is needed to start the process of judgment and justice. And when Jesus hung on that cross, it began. Until we have that final day of justice that our hearts cry out for, but are not ours to grasp. David wrote, "Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, God, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." In other words, David knew the covenant of God. I will be your God with everything that comes with it, and you will be my people with everything that comes with it. David looked back at the covenant relationship that God had made with Abraham and he saw that God is faithful. He looked back at the covenant relationship that God made with Moses and he saw that God is faithful. David's experience of God with Goliath was that God is faithful. And so we can look back at David and know that God is faithful. But even more than that, we can look back at Jesus and know that God is faithful. Because Jesus is a king even greater than David. We can take refuge in God because of the promises of his covenant with his people. I will be your God and you will be my people. We can also look forward to the final chapter of that covenant relationship. You see, all of it has been leading up to this. "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice on the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I'm making everything new.'" And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of sulfur. This is the second death. Everything that David cried out for in this psalm is in this, in our future. It is in our eternity. And so, doesn't that make it worthwhile doing these things in the meantime? Doesn't that motivate us to guard our hearts and our minds against the lies? Doesn't it give us hope? Doesn't it give us a safe place to take refuge? Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. That is the only way that David could get up every morning. So why would we try to do it any other way? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your covenant. We thank you that in Jesus Christ, your ultimate love was revealed to us, and we got to see who you really are, the God who saves us, the God who is compassionate, who is merciful, who is kind, who is loving, who is patient, who is full of grace. And so, Father, we ask and cry out for your help to live as your people, in covenant with you. Help us to know what it means for you to be our God. Help us to live as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.